The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
On March 23rd, Biden signed us all up for another $1.2 trillion credit card. This following the $1.7 trillion debt we were shackled with in December. This latest loan taken out in our names by those who supposedly represent us, just like so many other emergency spending bills before it, was ostensibly to avoid another government shutdown. Our federal government is morbidly obese, outrageously bloated, and yet we're constantly barraged with threats of government shutdowns because the government is broke. In case you're not aware, in America, we the people are supposed to be the government. So essentially, we're the ones who are broke, whether people realize it or not. Take a look at the website usdebtclock.org. The numbers there are staggering. As I prepare this message, every individual U.S. taxpayer owes $266,950 toward the national debt. Of course, by the time you get this message, that number will be higher because the interest on the debt never stops. And just how fast is our national debt and inflation rising? This year, the average American household must spend an additional $12,000 annually just to maintain the same standard of living we had just 3 years ago. Republicans are supposed to be the so-called conservatives on the right side of the aisle. Yet I can't think of a single positive thing Republicans have done to stop the destruction of our country for many years now. There are a handful of Republican legislators who make excellent points during their grand speeches on the floor of the House and Senate, yet nothing ever comes of it. Our founding fathers would rightly try most of our current legislators, and the evidence against them would be so enormous most would have been hung for treason. But in modern America, we the people have become powerless. Our public servants have become our masters, and we continue to believe the lie that there are two distinct parties in Washington, liberal and conservative. We continue to vote for the lesser of two evils, even though the lesser evil is just as evil and corrupt, and even more dangerous because we know what the leftists will do, yet we still somehow believe that the so-called conservatives will deliver us from evil. The best thing that could happen is to let the government shut down. It's happened before, and it's one of the few times I can recall anything government ever did that was a direct benefit to me, even though it was small. My wife and I had happened to be traveling at the time, and we were able to visit a national park. The park was open, but there were no employees working or services operating. And so, according to the sign at the gate, no admission fee. Because there were two of us, we saved $70. I kind of like government shutdowns. See, we really didn't need an employee at the gate to take our money. We got along without them just fine. So let's look at this latest $1.2 trillion we just borrowed as the government created it out of thin air. Initially, Republicans stated they wouldn't approve this additional spending unless it included the closing of our national borders and stopping the invasion. In the end, 101 Republicans sided with 185 Democrats, and the measure passed by a vote of 286 to 134. And our borders remain wide open. By the way, the cost of accommodating the millions of illegals in this country is $451 billion annually. The total cost of actually securing our border would be $15 billion. Illegal invaders freely receive more than $4,000 a month in federal assistance. Meanwhile, Social Security checks average $1,200 a month. Do the math. In fact, rather than securing our national borders, this latest spending package includes an additional $650 million to provide shelter and other services to the invaders. It also includes $368,000 for a podcast hosted by a Democratic candidate running for city council in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Over $100 million for training and diversity programs at the Health and Human Services Department. And $87 million for social and emotional learning in the Department of Education. Also included is $7.5 billion for electric vehicle infrastructure, which only the extreme leftist woke have any interest in. And of course, the leftist LGBTQP+ and transgender obsession received a big payday as well. $400,000 for an LGBTQ program for minors aged 13 and up to provide clothing and events without parental consent. And another $400,000 for a New Jersey LGBTQ group for binders and gaffs to hide body parts and allow transgenders to indulge their mental illness. And let's not forget the $1.8 million allocated for a Rhode Island women's hospital performing elective abortions up to 22 weeks. Shall I go on? $850,000 for a gay senior citizen's home, $15 million to pay for Egyptian college student tuitions, another $400,000 for a homosexual activist group to teach elementary kids about being transgender, $500,000 for a diversity, equity, and inclusion zoo. Apparently, money is no object, and being hopelessly bankrupt financially and morally is no issue for those who claim to represent our best interests. And while our military veterans, and all of us really, struggle to receive adequate medical care, while millions of Americans have lost their homes and are now living on the streets, senior citizens are subsisting below the poverty line, and newlyweds can't afford even a modest starter home, there's always plenty of money for sodomites, the affirming of transgender mental illness, taking care of every need, wish, and desire of foreign enemies invading our borders, the perversion and destruction of the lives of our children, and forcing electric vehicles on the public that nobody wants. Not to mention the constant funneling of untold trillions of dollars to 188 foreign nations and the military-industrial complex in the most massive money laundering scheme the world's ever seen, lining the pockets of those who claim to represent us. To illustrate just one part of this scam, it took the USA four presidents, thousands of lives, trillions of dollars, and 20 years to replace the Taliban in Afghanistan with the Taliban. Our federal government is spending with no limits, and when the latest emergency fund runs out, they just approve another one. I have to wonder, why are we the people even paying taxes? Why are we living on a budget and living responsibly when clearly no one in government even knows what those things are? If they can just pull trillions of dollars out of thin air every few months for whatever leftist communist wish list they want to cater to, despite the fact that the money doesn't even really exist, why do they need our measly tax dollars, which come nowhere near to even covering the debt our government owes? The massively heavy tax burden levied upon us is completely unnecessary, except to keep us enslaved. Because they spend way more money than they receive in tax dollars every day, without thinking twice about it and in the blink of an eye. By the way, a system that has no problem printing currency without wealth also has no problem printing votes without voters. It's an enormous burden on American taxpayers. You know, the American Revolution began due to taxation without representation. England was taxing the colonists on goods we imported, but the colonists had no representation in British Parliament. Today, American citizens are being taxed on everything, with no legitimate representation in our own Congress. By the way, the Revolutionary War was fought over those taxes that amounted to a whopping 3%. Today, just the federal income tax rate alone ranges from 10% for those living in poverty to 37% for those with a higher income. And that's just the federal income tax. We pay taxes on the money we earn, taxes on the money we spend, and taxes on things we own that we already paid taxes on with already taxed money. Only our government is incompetent enough to be in the business of forcibly extracting money from people and still come out bankrupt. In addition to the federal income tax, we also pay property tax, sales tax, state income tax, marriage license fees, public school taxes, vehicle registration taxes, business permit fees, estate taxes, dog license fees, driver's license fees, vehicle registration fees, gasoline taxes, gift taxes, social security taxes, unemployment taxes, self-employment taxes, hotel taxes, license plate fees, Medicare taxes, utility taxes, and sports stadium taxes, to name just a few. So basically, if you earn it, you pay income tax. If you live somewhere, you pay property tax. If you spend it, you pay sales tax. If you save it, inflation tax. If you invest it, capital gains tax. If you start a business, license fees. If your business prospers, you pay profit tax. If you give it away, there's a gift tax. And in some states, if you die, inheritance tax. There was a time when we didn't have to ask permission from the government or pay taxes to collect rainwater, go fishing, own a property, start a business, renovate your home, build a home, drive a vehicle, get married, hunt, own a weapon, cut hair, sell a product, protest, grow your own food on your own property, set up a lemonade stand, or sell food. Today, you can do virtually nothing without being extorted by the government and obtaining their permission first. So again, why do we pay taxes when government now issues money to every special interest group and nearly every foreign country in the world, racking up trillions in debt with literally nothing to back it up and with absolutely no accountability to anyone? The average citizen, and especially those who own a business or operate a Christian ministry, must account for every single jot and tittle of their income and then hand over a substantial amount of that money to the government. The IRS has thousands of agents to scrutinize every single cent we have. Yet the government loses trillions in assets frequently, spends trillions that don't even exist, and there is no audit, no accountability, no nothing. And why do we even have cash and coins anymore in the first place? We know it's only a matter of time before the digital currencies are rolled out, giving the globalists and big government even more power and control over every aspect of our lives. Well, it's because having cash and coins allows us peasants to maintain the illusion that actual money still exists. In reality, it's only digits anyway. And there will come a time, sooner rather than later, that our paper money will become more valuable as fire starter so we can stay warm. On June 4th of 1963, President John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, which returned to the U.S. government the power to issue currency and did away with the so-called Federal Reserve System. Kennedy was killed on November 22nd of that year, just 5 months later. And on that same day, Lyndon Johnson rescinded that order, keeping Americans enslaved to the Rothschild banking system and ensuring the eventual bankruptcy of our nation. It's time for another American revolution. It's time to hold our public servants accountable for their crimes. Time to reinstate our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Most of all, it's time we return to God in humility and repentance, seek His face, and turn from our apathetic and wicked ways. If the judgment God's pouring out now on this nation causes us to mourn, that's a good thing. Maybe we'll finally muster the courage to stand up and declare enough. But I won't hold my breath. Most likely, we'll just continue kneeling before tyrants.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.